Let me take you to the ancient city of Rome. Okay, the time is about 25 years or so after Jesus has been raised to life, and the message of Jesus and his life and his love have been spreading across the ancient world. Okay, we're in Rome. You're inside a Roman villa on the outskirts of the city. And gathered in a group is a mixed bunch of people. There are some Roman slaves who are eating with the family, the wealthy family whose house it is. And they're also gathered with them are some Jewish Christians who had been banished from the city for many years under Claudius Caesar. And over the last couple of years, they've just been making their way back again. As they clear the dishes, a hush descends. They've got a special visitor with them. They check the doors are locked and the curtains are closed. And this visitor, Phoebe, who's come from near Corinth in Greece, she takes out a secret scroll from her bag and she begins to read to the gathering what we now call Romans chapter 1, verse 1. She wouldn't have said that bit. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And Phoebe continues. She reads the letter that the Apostle Paul has sent to the different house churches in Rome. And she's there, she's able to answer some questions and reread some of the sections for those who are gathered. Fantastic. We call it Romans today, the letter Paul wrote. And it's in the New Testament part of our Bible. It's one of the most important theological documents of its time. Yet, this is no dusty, dry theology. This letter has impacted and changed lives ever since it was written, as well as influencing the whole course of history. Just take the Reformation. Maybe you can think of a way the book of Romans has touched your life and changed you. You share that in your life groups this week. It's an incredible letter. Martin Luther in the 16th century. He was a great reformer, massively impacted by Romans, and he ended up writing a commentary on it. Fast forward a couple of hundred years. I remember growing up hearing about a guy called John Wesley in the 18th century. He found a new life in Jesus, and he did that when he was just opening. He was listening to the opening words of Luther's commentary on Romans. See how it plays forward. Wesley's journal for the 24th of May, 1738, records this. In the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street, that's in London, you can still go there today, where one was reading Luther's preface to the epistle, that's a letter, to the Romans. About a quarter before nine, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he'd taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. That's some journal entry, isn't it? And wow, the content of Romans, even the preface, brings that sort of difference. Yeah, just through Wesley, in this country, we had amazing revival. He went to the miners as they came out of the pits. He was out under trees preaching to people in fields, and the landscape of the church in this country changed because of this letter. And we're going to study it over the next 3 months, and we will see the full extent of God's news, how it unfolds in this letter, how it changes followers of Christ, how it changes us today. Simon was reminding us last week, wasn't he, that of our verse for the year, God's word is a lamp for my feet and a light on our path. Let's pray, shall we? In fact, I'm going to do that now. Lord, we pray. We pray, may the same God who inspired this letter give light to us today in these coming weeks, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but Romans, at times it can seem a bit daunting. And so I was really encouraged by a guy called Andrew Ollerton. We used his book as an inspiration for our series at the start of the year when we looked at the big story of the whole Bible. And he's written a book on Romans as well. And what really helped me was that he likens reading it, studying the book of Romans, to an expedition where you are climbing a mountain. And he's like, you start at base camp, the good news, what it is. We'll talk about that next week more, the gospel, the good news. And then the route heads down into the valley of sin, the low point from which we need rescuing. And then the climb of salvation as we're lifted through Jesus. And we get to that place of peace where we can pause, bask in the love of God, the grace, and from there take this pathway, a ridge of freedom. There's a drop on either side, but with Christ. And my dear friend, Stachys, greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who's worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the other brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. Amen. Right, we finished. Thank you. You can listen to David Suchet later and find out how you should pronounce him. I want us to think about the community there gathered, this underground church, and Paul himself writing to those in Rome. All of them been impacted and transformed by the gospel, this good news about Jesus. And there are four things that the good news we can get from this passage. The good news frees us. It frees us to serve God and his purposes. Chapter 16 started with dear Phoebe. And she's described as a deacon in the church near Corinth. Now, a deacon was a leader there. And deacon literally means, the translation, it's a servant or a slave. It was a name given to leaders in the early church. The good news frees all of us to serve God and his purposes. There are others serving away. Mary gets the mention, Tryphena and Tryphosa and Persis, that worked hard in the Lord. They worked hard. Honor them. Priscilla and Aquila, they risked their lives because the good news has freed them. They're changed. And so they risk their lives for the gospel. Go back to the opening and those words that Phoebe read as she started unscrolling the letter. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. That's his introduction. Paulos doulos. Paul, a slave. Paul, a servant. It's actually it's a striking greeting because he's writing to a city where at the time more than 30% of the population were owned as slaves. Slavery was different in those days to maybe some of our images in later centuries, but some were teachers or some handled the accounts, but many just felt like mere property of wealthy masters, bought and sold, little or no rights at all. And their goal is freedom, to be free of being a slave, to earn enough money in their lifetime to buy their freedom. So Paul's introduction, that's a shock, isn't it? Paul, and he owns the title slave, a slave of Jesus Christ. Because the gospel, the good news has changed him, completely changed him. A Jewish teacher. That was his background. He had pursued and persecuted the earliest Christians, and then he was the one who had the original Damascus Road experience, a complete 180-degree turn of his life around after he met Jesus, and he was quite literally blinded by his grace, to nick a Stormzy lyric. And he's free. He's free to say, I'm a slave. Our culture, you know, freedom, what does it mean to our culture, this idea? Normally it's like the complete absence of any restrictions. That's what it was like for our boys growing up. Nobody can tell you what to do. That's a general cultural feel. But not for Paul. Not for Paul. He lays his cards on the table. He's met Jesus. Life has changed. And true freedom, the true freedom comes when we die to our own ambitions, our own way, our own understanding. And we embrace this way of life as a servant of Jesus Christ. And do what pleases him. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. I don't know if you can pick up how Romans 16 and that start of Romans 1 give us a window on this way of just people who changed inside because of Jesus. Jesus changing us, and we're free, free to serve God and his purposes. So let me just ask you for a moment. I don't know how you describe yourself, what your primary description is. Or your status on a social media bit, or I don't know. How often do you use the term, I'm a servant of Christ Jesus? I've let go of the need to get what I want and do what I want when I want and all those other things. And serving God and serving others in Jesus' name. How are you doing that? How am I serving him and his purposes at this time? That's the first thing. Second one is, the good news really is for everyone. As you read chapter 16, you do get this sense of the different groups here and the church that meets at the house and so on throughout Rome. And the list of names has Greek names, Latin names, Roman names. The good news is for everyone. The list includes some who had the Jewish background before they met Christ, many of who have been able to return now to Rome, and then you've got others who are steeped in this Greek culture but have come to know Christ. But the good news reaches everyone. All are included in this grace of God, and it's why I think Paul brings together two of the greetings that different groups use. You've got the Hebrew peace, shalom, and you've got this idea of grace, and he says, grace and peace to you, when he greets them right at the start, and brings it together, because that's his purpose. He's writing this letter. He wants to bring them together. You're under the cosh. Let's come together. Women and men. He honours both equally, doesn't he, as we read through that. The wealthy and the poor, slaves and free, educated and illiterate. The breadth of God's love means that people from every station of life encounter life in Jesus, and they're changed and they want to gather at risk, but they want to gather to worship, to learn, to grow and to serve. It is a risk at that time then. Still rumblings from the earlier persecution of the Jews, and so they meet in secret, and when they meet, it's a table, they eat together, truly diverse group of people, real people, some of them absolutely shattered from work, all of them living under pressure, and yet hungry for the truth. Good news is for anyone. Good news is for everyone. Let's just hold that in our minds and in our hearts. Who are you going to meet this coming week? Who will you meet? The good news is for everyone. Maybe you've got a new person in your team at work. Or you just started a new job. Or there are new people you're meeting on the school gate. Or you're going to do a couple of hours next week at the Community Fun Day. And there'll be people you've never met before and others that you've met once or twice. The good news, the breadth of God's love. There's nobody outside of that. Let's just hold that. If there's someone on your mind right now, just Just pray for them, lift them to the Lord for his light to come. That's the second thing. The third is this: the good news brings depth to community. I picked up Paul's affectionate tone in that chapter 16. There's a whole load of people that he's known and met in different places as he's done three missionary journeys and so on, and they've been able to return to Rome, so he knows loads of them. Affectionate tone. In chapter 1, he says, to those who are loved by God. Chapter 16, you pick up they're loved by Paul as well. Just really important. There are tricky passages in the letter to the Romans, no doubt about that. But remember this, right through the next few months, Paul is not writing a dispassionate or theoretical letter. He's writing to people whom he loves and for whom he wants the best. Just remember that if you get stuck in something, he loves them and he wants the best for them. My dear friend, Stachys was one of those, verse 9. He talks about Rufus's mum. She's been like a mother to him too. You get like deep connections. And all this, even though Paul himself hasn't been to Rome, but he wants to go there on his way to Spain and share Jesus in Spain. And he knows the challenges they face. I mentioned the Jewish Christians being able to return, those that have been banished, and the Greek Christians, well, they've grown used to functioning as church without these others around, and they're home again, and you've got to work all of that out. And this diverse group, Paul's challenge is unity. And we'll dig into that much more later on in this series as we think about that acceptance of one another. But even here in his final greetings, he keeps pushing them back to this. There's a lovely phrase in verse 16 where he says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Verse 16 of chapter 16. We live in a world of handshakes and hugs or virtual waves and things like that. And so, how do you process this? Greet one another with a holy kiss. Well, put it back into that context there, where people at a time in that Roman context where people would have been treated differently in a court of law based on their place in the hierarchy of society. And here's Paul talking to both a Jewish Christian and a Greek Christian and saying, greet each other with a holy kiss. To a Christian, a wealthy Christian master and one of his slaves, greeting one of his slaves with this sign of honor, a sign of respect in that culture then. Yes, the gospel changes everything and it brings a depth to community. It's good news and we work at it out of the good news of us. So as we think about the depth of community, is there one person that you particularly encourage and they encourage you, or two people you meet regularly to pray, just chat and to pray, or maybe you've got a life group and you're thinking on that for this next season of your life. The God who changes us, puts us together with different people, whatever status or background. And so who am I gathering with? We're trying to pull and launch some life groups. So do chat to Nicola or myself, if you catch us afterwards, because we really wanted a lot of people who said they were free on a Tuesday are now free on a Thursday, etc. So just refresh our minds, catch us over coffee. That would be really good. So we can get those going. Finally, the good news is for sharing. Back to Phoebe, all right? This leader in the church in Cenchreae, this town which is a port nearest to Corinth where Paul was based and probably wrote the letter from. And she's entrusted with delivering the letter to the church in Rome on Paul's behalf. We're told that she's a benefactor of many. So she's a woman of means. And maybe it is that she was heading to Rome on a business trip, or that's her cover for being able to be the courier of this letter. She certainly took a risk just the boat journey itself, and then what she was carrying within the Roman Empire. In Paul's day, the courier of a message would often read it and they would explain the letter on behalf of the author. It's lovely that she's been entrusted with this. You know, in those days, you couldn't click on FAQ or something, frequently asked questions when you weren't sure of something, but you could ask the person who'd read it to you. I was very grateful to Andrew Ollerton. He said this, just think about this woman, Phoebe, carrying this life-transforming message. He says this, he imagined her getting it out, reading it over and over again, digesting and memorizing its message so that she could pass it on with passion and with good understanding. And as I was kind of like caught with that idea, I thought, oh my goodness, that's an amazing model for us, isn't it? And challenge for us too. Over the coming weeks, we'll unpack again this good news and think about what it is and the changes that it brings and how we live it out. But for now, let's be inspired by this little known woman. We too carry the message. We too can read the letter, digest it, memorize parts of it, and be ready to pass it on with passion and good understanding. David Suchet takes about an hour and 10 minutes to read through the whole of Romans, I reckon. So that's how long it would take if you wanted to sit down and read the whole thing and get the big picture in one chunk. Always a good thing to do, but more difficult with longer letters. But you could do just a chapter a day for consecutive days. And you just get that big picture. And as you do, you'll see, how did Paul start? Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. We'll come back to that next week. But it's God's gospel, it's not ours. It's the good news, it's a big theme in the Bible. And as we've seen today, looking in on people, this good news frees us to serve God. This good news really is for everyone, really is. This good news gives depth to relationships, and this gospel is for sharing. May we carry it. It's the same Jesus we serve. He's still the King on the throne. He's the one that we worship, who's opened our eternity, whose grace we depend on each day. Let's pray to him now, and the band will come up and be ready to help us respond as well with a song. But let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for this glimpse into the church in Rome all those many years ago. Today, and in these coming weeks, by your Spirit in us, Jesus, we pray that you would open our minds afresh to the wonder of who you are, why you came and what you've done, and the good news of life in you, Jesus. May your work in us these coming weeks really change us. Change us for the better, we pray. Lead us into greater freedom. Father, may the impact of this letter that you inspired be seen in our lives, in our church, in our generation, we pray. And most of all, give us the grace and the courage and the strength to place you afresh as Lord in our individual lives, and as King of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.